We have talked about teaching kids about money plenty of times on this show. But I will say, I mean, first of all, we can't talk about it enough. And also, things are different now. Many families across this country are struggling financially in these times. So how does that money conversation go with your kids during what's happening today? Robin Tobe has updated her amazing book focused on families. It is called The Wisest Investment, Teaching Your Kids to Be Responsible, Independent, and Money Smart for Life. She joins us now to talk more about the new, let's call it a new book. Robin, can we call it new, even though there was, you know, yeah. Now, you have been focused on financial literacy for kids for years.
Yes.
What would you say is new and relevant and pressing right now in this moment?
I would say there's two things. One is our society has moved towards away from cash and towards digital and other mobile forms of money. And this was accelerated by the pandemic when we really stopped using cash almost overnight. And then the other thing I would say is that the pandemic hit out of nowhere. And many of us were unprepared, and it really hit hard, like a wrecking ball, just, you know, decimating certain industries and destroying people's livelihoods. And I think for a lot of families, they were caught unprepared. Now, we're all in this together, but it has impacted families differently. So some families are struggling to pay their bills on time and manage their debts, while others are able to save record amounts and see their wealth grow. Mm-hmm. But either way, it felt like such a wake-up call about the importance of preparing and educating the next generation about money.
You have a chapter entitled, Why is Teaching Your Kids About Money the Wisest Investment? I think you and I agree on this, but let me hear it from you in your own words.
So there are definitely consequences to our kids if we don't teach them about money. And those consequences are they're going to be lacking this basic life skill, financial literacy, which allows them to look after themselves and their families. It means they could start to form bad habits like living beyond their means that become difficult to break as they get older. And if we don't teach our kids about money, it can lead to a lot of stress. It can lead to mental health stress and physical stress. Almost half of Canadians say they've lost sleep over money worries. I mean, making a lot of money doesn't guarantee financial success. That comes from making good decisions with the money that you do make. But Bruce, one other thing is that if we don't teach our kids about money, it could come back to haunt us right, as parents.
In a very practical way.
Well, exactly. Which means, you know, could you afford to support your adult children financially? And there's been a lot written about this. Rob Carrick has written about this a lot in the Globe, how parents have really had to step up with this generation, because there's been three things that have kind of come together, which is like a trend from full-time employment to temporary gigs, rising tuition costs, and housing inaffordability. So those three things have made it really tough for this generation. And then the pandemic hit, and it just made things even harder. So we want our kids to be financially independent. That is the goal. There may be some bumps along the way, and we may have, you know, choose if we can to help them a little bit. But I think ideally most parents want their kids to be off the payroll and to be responsible with money and to be financially literate. And I think also have a sense of purpose, not a sense of entitlement, and, you know, have that motivation to achieve something on their own.
One of the great things about the book is it really is written for age and stage. So you start with the young kids, you move to preteens. Mm-hmm. How did you delineate what part of the curriculum, for lack of a better word, should happen when, and how one would engage kids based on what they can compute in terms of their mental capacity?
Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, throughout every stage and age, I talk about the five pillars of money. So first you have to earn money, then you have four choices. You can save it, spend it, donate it, or invest it. So the five pillars of money are earn, save, spend, donate, and invest. And then what I thought about was for each stage, going from young kids to preteens to teens to young adults, what are the most important topics to cover in under each of those five pillars that are age appropriate, that are relevant? Because as you know, financial literacy research shows that people will take in this kind of learning when it's relevant and important to their lives and when it's directly connected to decisions that they have to make today. So that's really what I tried to think about was, you know, what were my kids like at that young age? Let's say for the young kids, what was relevant in their world? What are examples that they can relate to at that young age? And also a lot of those things changed during the pandemic. The way we, you know, went about our lives and spent money really changed. So a lot of the examples I used to use became out of touch with the current moment. So, you know, I really wanted to make sure it was how people were living their lives now.
One of your sections is very much of the moment, and that is teaching preteens on digital spending, how you make that feel real. Our 11-year-old loves Amazon. She loves to put stuff in the cart. She loves to shop around for it. The amount that is currently sitting in the cart for summer camp in terms of, you know, gear that she needs, it's about, I don't know, somewhere around $1,300.
Oh.
That is not happening. What advice do you have for me? How do we make that digital spending feel real?
Right, because the psychological pain associated with like handing cash over to someone is lost in this digital world. We just don't seem to feel it in the same way. You know, with your daughter, with Abby, I think one of the issues is like it's not coming out of her own money. You know, with adults, you can have things like, you know, those reminders and alerts to tell you that you've just spent money. So it makes it, it kind of makes it hurt again. It makes it feel real when you, you know, get a notification saying you've just spent $1,200 on Amazon. I mean, I think with kids, one of the best things to do is give them some responsibility over their own money that they're spending. So if she's getting an allowance, maybe some of that allowance has to go towards her camp stuff. So kids will think longer and harder about spending their own money, even if you've given it to them as an allowance, than they will when they're just spending yours, and especially when they're just throwing it on a credit card or a digital card.
I will one day have a teenager. So of course I looked ahead to your section on teaching teens. One of the things you write about is paying for good grades. What's your view on that?
Personally, I don't subscribe to that because I think that you want your kids, again, to have a sense of purpose, not a sense of entitlement, not to feel like, you know, there's a price tag associated with everything. You want them to be motivated to do well in school and later on in their careers because it's meaningful and fulfilling to them. So I am not one to bribe my, you know, I didn't bribe my kids for good grades. But one thing you could do is to reward your kids is to say, you know, if you do get certain marks or average, you maybe you're going to put some money into their university or, you know, post-secondary fund to, so it's going to them and it's going towards their future education. So it's at least aligned with that goal, but you're not just bribing them with money they can go out and spend.
Teaching or emerging adults is your last section there. Yeah. And you've got some context on investing. What do you think is important for that demographic, 18 to 21, to know about the markets?
I think the key thing is that they have time on their side. They have decades ahead of them to take advantage of the power of compounding. So I hope they were paying attention in their math class where they learned about compound interest, how it's, you know, the interest you earn on your interest as well as your initial principal and how it accelerates over time. And if you let it go to work for you, your investments can really grow exponentially over the long term.
You will find no parents who would disagree with the importance of teaching their kids about money. You will find many parents who don't do it.
Yeah.
What is your advice for those of our listeners out there who are like, yeah, so I should totally, someone should totally do this. It's just not going to be me. What do we need to do or say to get parents engaged?
I encourage it to be you because your kids want to learn from you. There's studies that show that they want their parents to be role models for making responsible financial decisions, and they want to learn about this. And they will have an advantage in life if they are taught about money from their parents. So what I would say is, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be doing everything right yourself. You can learn along with your kids, and you can also be open about the mistakes you've made and what you've learned from them.
You made mistakes? Oh my gosh, we'll have to save that for another. I am perfect. I am perfection incarnate. Robin, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Bruce. Thank you.
Robin Tobes, the author of The Wisest Investment, Teaching Your Kids to Be Responsible, Independent, and Money Smart for Life.